Well, good morning. Good morning, Rien. It must be Kees and the rest of the others. Your daughter, Christy. Great to see you here. And I'm very pleased that I could give this first introduction here about Rien and his career as a scientist and all the other things that are known about Rien van Geruchten I don't want to talk about. Well, Rien just stepped in at the last minute, and that reminded me of the fact that sometimes he went out camping in New Mexico. I was at New Mexico State University, and Rien sometimes came along. And one day he went camping with us, and we were on in the Sacramento Mountains, way at the peak, at about 9,000 feet, 9,500. And Rien thought he went for a walk. And so we were about to break up camp, but he in the morning he left us to go for a walk, and we were ready to go back home, and we were waiting and waiting and waiting. There was nobody Rien. We didn't know what Rien was. Finally, after hours and hours waiting, there was an old car slowly climbed up, came to us, and Rien stepped out. And what he had done is go from the campsite way down till he finally ran into an old house and talked the guy into giving him a ride, and that ride took him about an hour to go back to the campsite. So I was so mad. I've been mad at other occasions also. Well, where is the first slide? Do I have to push on something?
Probably just click on the mouse. Or the space bar on the keyboard down there.
Maybe. Okay. Click on the whole thing. Right click, left click. This is not a Mac. Well, I was looking for slides to present here, but I couldn't find any. And then I went through an old presentation that Rien gave about me about 3-4 years ago, and there were all my slides on his presentation. So I don't know who has my slides, but they were on the CD that he gave me at the occasion of that presentation. So I took this one off. That was his office. Rien had very unusual hours. He would never come in before 11 o'clock in the morning. And the department was kind of traditional in the early 70s. And they thought, well, that's not going to work. You know, this guy is never get his degree there. And he comes at 11 o'clock. How can you get some work done? But Rien stayed till 3-4 o'clock at night and had most productive hours working there. So that was in his office. I go back, I think. Maybe. That was on another camping trip. That's my son Mike and my wife Anna Marie. And Mike, he turned out to be an expert in cleaning the fish. They planted some trout, and the kids got a trout, and Mike of Rien had to clean it out. He knew how to do that, and Anna Marie had to cook it, and it was really delicious, fresh trout. It was a nice camping outing. He also was well known to the kids. He was basically, we had no relatives in the U.S., so actually Rien functioned as Uncle Rien. For the kids, Paul and Malise and Mike, he was Uncle Rien, and sometimes he did a little babysitting, was good at that. And we had good times together. So here he's looking at some of my soil columns. I set those up, had them set up, I think, even before they came. And Rien studied those, looked at it, then looked at the results, and didn't like what he was seeing. And thought, well, I can do it better, so he set up his own columns to do his own studies. Rien always did, he collected all his own data. He also had him go into, I had him go into field to do a field survey of a cotton field, and he had to go in there with a Dutch auger to 3-4 feet and map the field. I thought he needed to have some field experience. And of course, he got very interested in it too, because this field was highly variable, and you had clay and sand and all kinds of mixtures. And so he got very interested in it. But then his final work, he did it all on the inside the lab and set up his own columns. get the next one. So these are, this is some data from his thesis, and you could see these columns are quite different. The breakthrough curves are quite different than what at that time we were used to look at. I would make them nice and symmetrical and fit a two-parameter equation to it, but he didn't think that was good enough. So he started looking a little bit more in the literature and found some chem engineering literature where they had seen this phenomenon, this early breakthrough, and then the tailing off both at the upper end and at the lower end, and tried to find a way to describe those. And from that, we got the mobile-immobile equation developed basically after Coates and Smith. I didn't know those guys. You know, Reno figured that out. I mean, that was out of my background. Of course, there were other soil scientists. I think Gardner had talked about this before. Wilford Gardner. We forgot actually to mention him in the paper. But Don Nielsen also had seen observations like this. So we didn't claim to be the first one, but Rien found the equations to describe these things, and of course came up with five parameters. We had a heck of a time to get this paper published. There were a lot of comments. Nobody thought there was immobile water. We didn't think either, but what other term could you come up with? You know, so we divided into two fractions, mobile and immobile water, like Coates and Smith had done, and then try to get the parameters for it. So we had a hard time getting this paper published, but it turned out to be a good paper. At least a lot of my colleagues have cited it over the times, and you will see that later. So then the problem was, of course, if you introduce a number of parameters, then you have to get values for those parameters. Two parameters easy to fit, but five parameters was more difficult. So at the time I was good friends with Bruce Wilson in chem engineering, and you never know how things happen in history, but when I talked to Bruce, he had just come back from a sabbatical at a national lab, and they had this multi-parameter curve fitting program developed. And so I told Rien, well, you should go to Bruce and talk to him and see what you can get out of him and what you can learn from him. So that's what he did. And he came back with two boxes of cards. Everything was on punch cards at the time, two big boxes. And he worked on those. And that program was actually set up for 20 parameters, if I remember correct. That's what you told me, I think. And then he was able to make it smaller and smaller, and ended up with a program that would fit five parameters. So that was quite an accomplishment. Took him a while, I think, but I didn't actually follow all the steps that he did. But most of the work happened in the middle of the night, and I was sound asleep. I don't know what he was doing. So, but he liked his freedom anyway, so we had a very good working relationship. You don't want anybody looking over the shoulder all the time. So that was the next step then, to develop this, to get values for these parameters, and then he published those in his papers. So the impact of Van Genuchten, if we talk about it, I think that that one of the things that Rien did over the years is after Las Cruces, he went to work with George Spender in his group at Princeton University. And he got involved in water flow, and then he developed his paper combining basically water retention, or tying water retention to the hydraulic conductivity, and came with this Van Genuchten model. And again, he had to get the parameters for this model, and he used this curve fitting program that we used for solute transfer to get these parameters for the what they now call Van Genuchten parameters. You know, it's a good thing if everybody talks to you about the Van Genuchten parameters. I've never heard somebody said Wieringer parameters. You know, I wonder what that would refer to, but certainly not to hydraulic conductivity modeling. Anyway, that's a theta S, theta R, alpha, M, and N, and everybody seems to know what those is. And so he got a lot of citations for that paper. I have to keep my eye on the time. My wife says me I talk too much, so that's what you get when you get older. So anyway, so he developed those, and had a good time in Princeton. We visited Reen there, and I was quite impressed with the environment and a very nice union they have at these private universities, student union. Well, I thought, how shall we evaluate Reen? And there's various ways to do somebody's career, and the easy way that I did is look at his citations. And so I looked at the citation analysis of his paper. And you have to have a yardstick, so I looked at about 20 of my more distinguished colleagues in the soil physics area. Several of those are here in this audience, not all of them, but several of them are, and how you would stack up in terms of citation analysis. So that's something I could do from home. I don't go to the office that much anymore, but that's what I could go to home. And so that's what I, and it's totally subjective. I don't give you any names, and I don't embarrass anybody, but I just wanted to show how well Reen is doing in this this area. So the impact of Van Gedichten, and so had 20 soil physicists and a few hydrologists, and I looked at their citation analysis, and you can then calculate the average. So the average citations for 20 established soil physicists. I mean, they all have a good, very good career. I mean, it's just not the beginning soil physicist. That wasn't a fair comparison, because your citations record really goes up with the years. The longer you hang around, the more citations you get. But then it's a curve like this. In the beginning, it's kind of flat, and hopefully it goes up. The summit always stays flat, but it's if it's flat, it stays at zero, cannot go down. I mean, that's the advantage of these things. So hopefully it goes up, and then it reaches a peak and it bends off, and then it goes down, you know. Some goes down rapidly or steep, some trails off a little bit more. Yours has a little long tail, Larry. Hopefully a very long tail. And so the average then, including Reen, is 3,600 citations, and without Reen, 3,100. And that's a very good record, actually, for most scientists. 3,000 citations over a career, that's actually, in my opinion, is a very good record. Look at your own record, then you can see that. But Reen had 12,000. And the second highest is 7,100. The third highest is 6,100, the fourth highest is 4,800, and the fifth highest of the 20 is 4,400, 4,500 citations. And so it gives you a little bit of an idea what his impact is in scientific journals. Others will talk about, and certainly Simonek will talk about all the programs and the impact of the programs, but the impact in the literature is very significant, and I'm basically very proud of having been associated with Reen in his early career, and this makes me even prouder. All people complain about this is that a lot of basic self-citation and things like that, but he has. This covers about 220 so publications. So if he self-cited himself 220 times, there's still almost 12,000 left. I mean, you know, a lot of these details, that's garbage, actually. The overall record is very, very clear. So that's a very good record. And this does not include any Hydrus program references, which is also a very significant thing. most frequently cited papers is, of course, the closed form equation is very highly cited. It causes, it basically spreads over two disciplines, both soil physics and hydrology, and so he gets a lot of citations for it. The other one was the mobile immobile water paper with 700 citations. It's a very, very high number of citations. Most papers, a lot of papers never get cited. A lot of my papers never get cited. And if you have 100 citations, that is already a lot on the paper. So he has 25 of his papers are cited more than 100 times. That's a very, very strong record. Very few people can get close to that, including myself. So all this data shows that his career is really very, very strong. The modeling impact, I don't talk much about it, but I want to mention the parameter optimization because his modeling impact is so strong as well, because at that time, there was, for example, a lot of models that people used, but only the people who developed those models could use those. Nobody else could use them. They were too complicated, or they were just written for their own program. His programs always worked, and he made them freely available to everybody. Everybody wanted his program, sure, he would send them off and help them how to get them going. And that's why he made a lot of friends, and a lot of people were able to use Rhine's programs, because those were programs that worked. And so that was one of the big things. Then he got into transport modeling, of course. Flow modeling came later in his Princeton time. Flow and transport modeling, then one Hydrus 1, 2, 3. I don't know if this, there is probably a Hydrus 1, 2, or 3. But those are being used now, and they are very widely distributed, and Simonek will talk about that. So it's had a strong impact in modeling as well. So if I summarize his impact, I would say advanced mathematical models, chemical transport in unsaturated zone, that's basically what he started with. Impact in hydraulic modeling, connected water retention and the conductivity. These papers are very highly cited and used by a lot of people. He developed many programs, and he was always very generous in sharing those programs with other people. And that is a character of Rhine that he thought was needed. He collaborated with a lot of people. And we have a lot of presentations here in this two-day series of scientists that he worked with. He had an uncanny knowledge of picking out good people to work with. But a lot of other people came to him for his assistance, and he worked with them, and they usually published together. A lot of his citations are from those joint publications. I also want to mention that he basically made sure at the end that the Vado Zone journal got through the whole mess and was approved. He was his first editor-in-chief, and it had been a long, long history to get Vado Zone journal. Rhine was a very strong proponent, but others, Glenn and Guy and others, also helped out a lot getting it established. But Rhine was the one who finally got it through and helped us getting a very fine journal, the first electronic journal of the society. And so he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then finally, why he has such an impact? Well, he's a great guy to work with. He's just a very nice guy. One of the people in attendance here pointed out to me that Rhine is a very sociable guy. And he is a very sociable guy. But he works very hard. But my daughter was with him when he went on sabbatical and to help out with the family, with Case and Christy, and to keep him under control, because he's two wild kids, you know, they needed somebody else to spend the summer with. And he said, well, Rien was in France, and pretty soon he picked up the French style of living, and that is basically for Sunday afternoon, you take the family, load them in a car, and go to a fine restaurant, and you dine there with the family, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and we were on sabbatical there, we noticed that too, and of course, Rien picked it up pretty fast, so Sunday then he went for dinner, but the rest of the week he spent finding out which was the best restaurant to go to. So Malise, my daughter, told him, well, he likes the good life also. And so it's not just soil physics. So Rien, we all owe you a lot, and myself maybe the most. And I learned a lot more from Rien than he learned from me, I tell you that. There's no doubt in my mind. And so he has been good to all of us, and I wish you well in your new country. He's now in a BRIC country, and Brazil is the first of the four BRICs. And so I wish you well and continue, hopefully, with a very good career and help a lot of people in Brazil and elsewhere. Thank you.